That troubles me. I'm not talking about lose your salvation, because if you're saved, you're going home. That's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about living a life pleasing to God, having God's blessings on your life, and ending this journey with a joy in your heart and full of glory. But the Bible has given us many, many instances of people that didn't happen to. We're studying those, because as we study those, we will learn, because God intended us to learn from others' mistakes as well as others' successes. And we can learn from them how they mishapped and mistook a lot of things. And Saul was our first example. Saul, a head taller than anyone else, chosen by God. But we see his life was a life of the wrong choices. We see that Saul's conduct was self-gratifying. Nothing seemingly in his life as a king was willing to give God glory, praise. In fact, when Samuel was telling what God wanted, he was doing the contrary. Oh, he said, I'm doing it. But what you say and what you do is two different things. Say, well, what's the end result? The end result was, because of his failure, God took his anointment off of him. He wouldn't, God wouldn't talk to him anymore. He was on his own. That's not a good place to be. On the battlefield, he had an arrow shot through him, and he wanted his servant to kill him, but he wouldn't. So Saul ended his own life by falling on his own sword. If that wasn't bad enough, his sons were killed in the battle also. That's not a good way to end the journey that God started in your life. But then we have a lot of examples of how people made mistakes along the line. And none of you this morning or myself could stand up and truthfully say, I've been perfect. I've lived a perfect life. I've never made mistakes. We make mistakes, but God forgives if we ask him. Look at Jacob. Well, Jacob was a surplanter. He was one that did all kinds of bad things. But look at the end of his life. God forgave him. And there is, he called his family around him. God anointed him and told him what each son's life and legacy would be. So he ended his life well. It's possible. And I'm not talking about you have to be an old person with gray hairs, because we're going to look this morning at a young king, Joash, and he was very young, and yet he ended his life. His life was ended for him in tragedy. Oh, he had such a good start. So as we're studying him, we're going to learn this morning some things he did wrong. We'll see some things he done right. And it will perhaps help every one of us to understand that we can start this journey. The Lord puts us on the salvation path. Calvary, as Brother Randy mentioned, it's where it all started in their hearts and life. We believe Jesus died for our sins. We accept salvation. God begins to work in us. And then that work can be accomplished for his glory. And it should be. Let's turn the Bibles, please, to the book of 2 Chronicles. Chapter 24, 2 Chronicles chapter 24 and verse 1. We're going to be talking about King Joash. Sometimes it's mentioned in the Bible, Jehoash, same person. And there was one of these men also in Israel. We're not talking about him. There was a king in Israel by the same name. We're talking about King Joash of the tribe of Judah, of the Commonwealth of Judah, and he was the king. So let's read the account of his life. We'll move as fast as we can, but there's a lot in his life, obviously, that we can't cover the highlights. And let's study and look how we ought to hearken to the things of God. And if we don't, we get in trouble with God. You can get in trouble with a lot of things, but don't get in trouble with God. Because if God started you on this journey, he wants to be with you. He wants to comfort you. The verse of scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 1. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. Can you imagine? 7 years old and sitting on the throne, the king of Judah? Let's look a little background and see how this happened. Why did God do that? God is in control of everything. He writes the script. course, people don't always follow the script. But if they don't, they won't end well. I'm not talking about losing your salvation, of course. I'm talking about losing the blessings. And in fact, even having the curse of God on your life if we don't follow his precepts. So let's look, first of all, that Joash was found now in the temple. Isn't that a wonderful place to be found? 7-year-old boy in the temple. How did that happen? Well, let's go back to Jehoshaphat a little bit. Jehoshaphat was king previous to that. And there's some good things about him and some bad. But then he had several sons. Jehoram was one of the kings. And there was also a Jehoram in Israel, a king. But we're not talking about him. We're talking about Jehoram, the king of Judah. And now he was such a wicked king. Let's read the text and look at 2 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 4. What a wicked king he was. Because when he got on the throne, he had brothers. And he had every brother slain. Can you imagine that? A king now that's serving in Judah, a place where God set and God established, and now a wicked king. And you can ask all you want to, why did God allow that? God does allow some things, but let's look at the end thereof. The end thereof was Jehoram was not very well. He served other gods, and he was a wicked king. But then he had a son, and his son Azariah was one that was going to tell him, oh, I forgot to tell you that his mother was Adatilia. She was a daughter of Jezebel and Ahab. So we can see now the life they had and the upbringing they had was against God, because Jezebel, remember, had all these false prophets and all these false gods. Wasn't a very good ending for her. But now she had a daughter, and that daughter is going to be a wicked person also. Let's look at the text together in 2 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 10. Can you put that on the screen, please? 2 Chronicles 22, verse 10. After Jehoram died and Uzziah, the son, was going to reign on the throne just for a short time, the Bible says, and when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. Not only did she destroy all the other seed, but she destroyed her own grandchildren. Why? Because now she wanted, after the death of her son, remember she is Jezebel's daughter, and she is bringing that wicked worship in. Remember the scripture that we quote about three Sundays ago, I think it was on July the 3rd. I've never seen it before, read it several times, but God's second my heart. God says, all those that hate me love death. Remember that. And now, this woman, Jezebel included, they hated God. How do you know they hated God? Because they did everything they could to push God aside and bring in false gods. And they had all these false gods that was prophets, on the mountain, and they had many, many different gods. And they didn't want the Lord God. They hated him. So it was nothing in her mind for her to kill her own grandchildren so she could be queen for 6 years. She thought she had destroyed all. Remember, God says, I'll always have a person on the throne in the lineage of David. And she hated that, so she tried to stop that. But you can't stop what God's doing. There was a little lad that she didn't know about. It's one of her grandsons. His name was Joash. And he was hid in the temple for 6 years while she was queen, and she was bringing in all the gods of Baal and all the false. She was doing everything she could to push God out and to bring in Baal and all that. Why? Because she hated God. And if you hate God, you love death. So she killed her grandchildren and all the other seed royal. She thought she had accomplished her mission. But you see, God's on the throne. And God had Joash's aunt, who happened to be the queen's daughter, secretly took little Joash And her husband happened to be Jehoiakim, who was a priest, the high priest. See how God works it? And they reared this child 7 years in the temple, right there in the same location almost this wicked queen was. And then one day when he was 7 years old, God says, it's time. So the high priest came out, told all the soldiers, because everybody realized this wicked queen is tearing down, bringing in the house of Baal, doing everything to destroy what God's done. And then you might ask the question, would God allow that 6 years? Yeah, God did. Look at the nation we live in. There's a lot of things going on, and you ask the question, where's God at? He's on his throne. He will bring justice. And now the king is going to be anointed, King Joash. He's brought out. And this wicked woman who thought this child was dead, along with all the others that she had killed, she saw him, and they told her, and she said, treason, treason. Oh, it's treason, all right. It's God's treason. And now she ran. They didn't want to kill her in the temple. So when she escaped out of the temple, then they killed her. Would God allow that? Not only would he allow it, he orchestrated it to get rid of that evil woman that had brought all those false gods and the house of Baal in there. So now we're going to see little Joash, 7 years old, and he has now somebody that's leading him, somebody that helped him. Remember the high priest. He's going to help him. Let's look at the Bible in 2 Chronicles chapter 23 and verse 11. Then they brought out the king's son and put upon him the crown. His father had been dead now over 6 years. Grandma thought she had got rid of him. She didn't know everything, but God had him secretly hid. And gave him the testimony and made him king. And Jehoiakim and his sons anointed him and said, God save the king. Look at verse 15 of that same chapter. So they laid hands on her as this wicked, wicked woman that was the queen for 6 years. And when she was come to the entering of the house gate by the king's house, they slew her there. So a new chapter. And this new king was going to follow the instructions of the high priest. A seven-year-old boy obviously doesn't know how to rule a kingdom. But then if he was 70, he still wouldn't know how to rule a kingdom. It must be and it must take the actions of an almighty God. If our life, which is hid in Christ, if we allow him to direct our life, and when we're young and as a young Christian, we don't know a lot. And even as seasoned Christians, we still may not know a lot. So most of us, God gives us somebody in our life to direct us. I was 12 when I got saved. Thank God I had a mother and dad that corrected me and it taught me the things of God. And then I went to the house of God. If the doors were open in the house of God where I live, my brother and I were tenants that day to be attendants in the house of God. We were never asked anything. If we were breathing, we were tenants. And I appreciate it and I love it so much. And now this young man had somebody, his uncle, that was directing him because he was a high priest and he was going to help him. So let's look how he followed this young man. He followed his spiritual mentor or leader. All of us need that as young Christians. God sent in my life is a young minister, Dr. J. Harold Smith and Dr. Percy Ray, and my pastor, of course, Lawrence Rhodes, and then my parents. We need a mentor. I don't care how old you are. We need, when you first get saved, you need somebody to direct you and lead you. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 12 and verse 2. The high priest. Him and his wife was the one that had hit him out. And at the right time, they brought him in and got rid of the wicked king. And Jehoiakim, who was the same person as Jehoshaphat, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all his days. Wherein Jehoiakim the priest instructed him. Notice that. Don't forget that. All the days that he had a good instructor. a mentor, somebody to follow. And Paul says, follow me as I follow the Lord. See, Paul didn't want them to follow him, but he said that I've got somebody leading me. So as he leads me, I'm following. You follow me because I'm following the Lord. And that's what this young man was doing. He was following. And the text says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days until he didn't have a mentor. We'll read that later on. Now look at 2 Chronicles again, chapter 24, and we'll slow down. We're looking at a young man that is following a mentor that is guided by the Lord. And if you and I will let that happen in our life. And now some of us have been saved a long, long time. That means that we ought to be mentors or spiritual leaders of those other people that are young and that need instruction. And God help us. We ought to be seasoned Christians and we ought to live a life pleasing before God so our life will end well. Wouldn't it be something for a young person to be following you or me as we're following the Lord and we're teaching them as well as we should, and then we go astray and we make a mistake and we bring reproach on God and we don't end well? What's that doing to those young people? And over and over and over in the Word of God, that's why God's placed in my heart in these days. That's happened to a lot of people, that people have looked up to some individual because they were young Christian. And then as they looked up to some individual, something happened. And they were no longer able to follow that. And then they got out theirself. And they didn't end well. So let's look at Joash now in 2 Chronicles chapter 24 and verse 4. As he is following his spiritual mentor, who is the high priest. Isn't it wonderful how God arranges it all? The Bible says, and it came to pass after this, that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. Who do you think minded him? 7-year-old boy? He hardly knows that the house of God's not going well. He probably doesn't realize that his grandmother has desecrated, has got rid of the things of God and brought in Baal worship in the same place. He doesn't know all that, so he was minded by his uncle, the high priest, and now he was following him. And he gathered together the priests and the Levites and said to them, go out into the cities of Judah and gather all of all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that ye hasten the matter, howbeit the Levites hastened it not. And ye have to read between the lines, the Levites who had been chosen by God to keep up the things of God, they hadn't had a leader themselves, because now they'd seen Jezebel, and they'd seen Jehoram, and they'd seen Ahaziah. They'd seen it desecrated, and they were chosen of God, but their leader failed them. And so now when a new leader, a young king who was instructed by the high priest, who was instructed by God, go out and get money to repair the things of God, they wasn't willing to do it. You see what happens when a nation or when a family or when a pastor, when somebody lets down. God told me when he called me to preach, I was a member of Hooper's Creek and God was calling me to preach, and I was in my 30s. And I attended a revival here at Fletcher First Baptist Church. Hinkle Little, one of my favorite preachers of all time, was preaching that revival. I was sitting on the second pew in the old sanctuary. And the pastor, Brother Bagwell, had called. And then he came to preach. And that first night of the revival, he said, I'll announce my text at the close of the message. And the whole message that night, he was going up and down three aisles, and he said this verse of scripture, and God is looking for a man to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. And God says, I've chose you to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. He didn't tell me I'd be at Fletcher one day sometime later, but as a pastor somewhere else. And then as an evangelist. So God let me know that he expected me to be the one that he could rely on So when I preach and I proclaim what he said, people would listen. Isn't it awful that a lot of people have that calling, and yet somewhere in the middle or somewhere toward the end, they lose it all and they lose their reputation? And now the Levites aren't willing to listen to what the young person says because they had not had proper leadership. That goes on all the time. But make sure it doesn't happen to you. And I got to make sure it doesn't happen to me. And you say, well, you're talking about old people with gray hairs. Well, this young boy died when he was like 46 years old. That wasn't all that old, was it? Because he was chosen to be king when he was 7. He served 40 years, and now he's about 47. And yet he had a tragic death, which we'll get into. But now he is a king, and he is following the instructions of a mentor, and he is given he's got the position to do it. God put him there, and he's giving instruction, but nobody's listening. So it takes God to listen. Let's keep reading. And the king called for Jehoiada, the chief. In other words, I need help. I'm just a young man. You're telling me what to do, and I'm doing it, but nobody's listening. That happens a lot. God tells a pastor, God tells someone else what to do, and because of neglect, because of a lot of reasons, nothing's happening. Now we need God. We always need God. So now he's calling for help. He's calling for his spiritual leader and said to him, why hath thou not required of the Levites to bring in out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection according to the commandments of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and of the congregation of Israel for the tabernacle of witness? This young man may be young, but he knows what the Bible says. He knows what Moses was instructed. And he said, let's don't change a thing. Thank you, Brother Randy, for reminding us. Let's don't change a thing. Moses got his message from God. God set it up. And I'm just declaring what God said through his servant Moses. And it's not happening. Let's go back and make sure it happens. Because God put me in charge. He said, and as God put me in charge, then my duty is to proclaim and make it happen, that the people will be blessed. So this young man wanted to end well. He's doing everything he possibly could. For the sons of Athaliah, that was his grandmother, the wicked woman, had broken up the house of God, and also of a dedicated sound, things of the house of God did they bestow upon Balaam. Can you imagine? He inherited a kingdom where the temple and everything that God had ordained was turned over to Satan and the house of Baal. And God's counting on him to restore it. Every one of us have different things in their life. But God knows what we need to do, and he's the one that's led us into it. We can go back and say, well, I've made mistakes. We all have. But you see, there's a new starting place now because this young boy has been willing to stand up and count the cost, and he's going to proclaim what thus saith God. And he expects it to happen with God's help, of course. And the Bible says in verse 8, and the king's commandment, they made a chest and set it without at the gate of the house of the Lord. And they made a proclamation to Judah and Jerusalem to bring in to the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, laid upon Israel in the wilderness. And all the princes and the people rejoiced and brought in and cast into the chest until they had made an end. Now it came to pass that at what time the chest was brought into the king's office by the hand of Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, the king's scribe and the high priest officer came and emptied the chest and took it and carried it to his place again. Thus they did day after day, and gathered money in abundance. And the king and Jehoiada gave it to such as did the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and hard masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord, and also such as wrought iron and brass to mend the house of the Lord. So the workmen wrought, and the work was perfected by them, and they set the house of God in its state and strengthened it. See, God has a way. He's not willing that any house or any of the choices a house that he has would allow anything of Satan to come in and tear it up. And he may allow it for a while, but But then God will put someone in charge, and God will see that it's carried out. And now Baal has been eliminated, the house of Baal. Oh, it was a terrible thing when he got to be king. All he could see was places of worship all around Jerusalem. It was Baal, anti-God, hate God. But see how God can change it? Look at the Murray today. Don't give up. They may be leaders. There may be people that's trying to bring in false worship and false gods. But hey, God's on the throne. And the book says, and if God's people will proclaim and stand in the gap and make up the hedge, let God do the work. God can perform it. This young man is going strong. But then, later on in his life, we see how he was strengthened by listening to the spiritual leader. We see how he was found in the temple. We see how he followed the spiritual leader. And when the spiritual leader wasn't getting results, he took action to make sure and then treat to make sure it happened. But then Joash failed to destroy all of the wicked's work. That was a problem. See, we're looking at the good things he did. Well, God's looking at the whole picture. And just because he rebuilt the house of God, and just because he pushed out Baal and all the worship of Baal in the city, let's look at the text in 2 Kings chapter 12 and verse 3. Joash failed to destroy false worship. He'd made a gallant attempt. But you see, there's some things he neglected. Look at my life, look at yours. Sometimes if you're not careful, we'll pat ourselves on the back. We're doing this and the house of God's going strong. But see, God's looking at the whole picture. Look what happens. He failed to completely destroy false worship. 2 Kings 12, verse 3. But the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places to other gods, of course. And he was so busy doing the things that was right around him, he neglected. He failed. And when you and I fail in one area, I'm not talking about perfection, because only Christ Jesus was perfect. But you see, when people like Jacob made mistakes, or like David made a mistake, when he was confronted in it, he quickly got forgiveness, and God set him back on the journey, and they ended well. But this king had neglected somewhere in the middle of his life. I'm not sure it was brought to his attention or not. But you see, oh man, that all without excuse. None of us have an excuse. We're going to stand. And all of us are going to end some way. I pray that we'll all end well. I want to look next how finally in life, as a young man, he forsook the things of the Lord. What would cause a young man, 7 years old, that had been elevated to the king, that was following God, getting rid of Baal worship, which he did, wanting, and when the people didn't respond to what thus saith the Lord, he took action and made it happen. What would make a young man forsake the Lord God in his middle of years? Well, the Bible tells us. It's important. He forsook the Lord. Let's look at the reason he forsook the Lord. It's a scary thing. Let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 24 and verse 15. Remember, he had been following a spiritual leader all the days of his life. And the scripture told us specifically, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, wherein Jehoiakim the priest instructed. As long as Jehoiakim was alive, he was following him and following the Lord. But the Bible says, 2 Chronicles 24, 15, but Jehoiada, his spiritual leader, waxed old and was full of days when he died. And 130 years old was he when he died. Verse 16. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. He and his wife, remember, was not willing to let that wicked queen destroy little Joash. And they hid him out 7 years and at the right time brought him in, and they were leaders and made him a follower all those years. But now, 130 years old, he died. Now, after the death of Jehoiada, came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them. This is his downfall. He'd already failed to do one thing. And Mark, he failed to get rid of the worship that's going on, sacrificing to other gods. He had the authority to do it, but he failed to do it. You and I need to look at their life and make sure that the authority God gave us, in every detail, we don't fail to carry it out. Because if we leave a little space, then there's a bigger space coming. And now, the spiritual leader had died. Look what happens. The princes of Judah, all those that were under him, came in and said, we don't like the way things are going. Here you've got the house of God turned into God, Moses, it's all we hear. We want to change some things. So they come in and they made obeisance. They bowed to the king. They got on the good side and he looked at them, and his spiritual leader has died. And they started demanding new things, different things, things that God didn't approve of. And because of pride, he listened to them. And when they bowed to him, it no doubt gave him the big head. Look who I am. I'm in my 40s now. And these people would really make things happen around here if we would just kind of forsake the old way and go a new way. Let's try it. See what happens. Verse 18. And they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespasses. Where was God when he was taking the pride and lift himself up in pride? Now remember, he had done a lot of good, but he had failed. And now the things he had failed in, the princes came in and said, hey, all these groves and all these, let's get back to that. Let's leave the house of God. You make too big a deal about the house of God. It's Moses this, and the book this, and commandments this, and repair this. Let's have a new way. What do you say? Okay. Well, God's looking in on it, and God's not pleased at all. And the Bible says, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem. God's wrath came upon them. When we have been instructed as he was in the things of God and set in positions of leadership, whatever leadership is, maybe a father, a mother, or a place in the church, and forsake and let things come between us and the Lord God and the house of God and the word of God, then God's wrath is surely come upon us. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again into the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. God's prophets to let the king Joash know, and all these princes that he is willing to let, they bow to him, and he's willing to go with them. And the word of God came and says, you're doing wrong. I'm going to bring you down. They wouldn't hearken to it. Samarica, that's modern worship today. Hey, but God's still on the throne. And we're his people, and we can still end well. Whether he did or not, whether others do or not, makes no difference. I've got a lot of problems, don't have time to tell you about it, take too long. But what other people do has never bothered me, never hindered me. That's a blessing from God. Peer pressure, I've always been able to go the other way. If the crowd wants to do it, or if the world wants to do it, it's easy for me to say, no, I'm going with God. And that's God in it. That's not me at all. And then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest. God always has a person. The priest's dead, full of years. And now there's not a leader, and there's no one to follow. But God quickly sends the priest's son, Zechariah. He stands by the book. He stands by the word, and he's going to give him final warning. Which stood above the people and said to him, thus saith God, why trespass ye the commandments of the Lord that ye cannot prosper. Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. You see, what we're talking about right now is how Joash forsook the Lord. And the text just told us that the man of God has given him a new decoration. Because you forsook the Lord is forsaken you. What a tragedy. It need not be. All he had to do was stay in the old path and walk therein and find rest for his soul. But he listened to this new wave. Let's expand. Let's don't think so much about the church. I know you've got Baal God, and I know you're turning the church, but there's other places. There's high groves. There's other things we can do. We'll go ahead and do it. God's looking in, and God sent another warning. And God says, I'm not pleased. And the text continues. And they conspired against him. The prophet now, the priest's son, Zechariah, is proclaiming this, what saith the Lord. But the people conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of King Joash. His father had nourished him from the time he was 1 year old and brought him out at 7 years old and instructed him all the days. And now the king says, stone his son to death. We don't want to hear any more preaching like that. Where's God? Oh, he's on his throne. Let's see what God does. Verse 21 again. And they conspired against him and stoned him with the stones at the commandment of the king Joash. Yeah, go ahead and stone him. I'm with them. We don't want to hear that kind of preaching anymore. In the court of the house of the Lord, the place where he had cleaned up, the place where he had restored worship. And out in the court, they stoned Zechariah, the son of the one that had, you talk about forsaking God and forgetting God. Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiakim his father had done to him, but slew his son, and when he died, he said, the Lord look upon it and require it. Lastly, let's look at how the Lord will execute judgment against those people that he starts right, and they won't be willing to listen to him, and they're going to end wrong. God's on the throne. He is going to execute judgment. We saw he did it with Saul. He's doing it with Joash. And there's numerous other places in the Bible. And look at your life. And look at others that you know, how they started right. And since they forsook God and done the same type of things. Wouldn't listen to the things of God. Wouldn't go the way God wanted to go. A new way that's not God's way. Look at verse 23. The Lord's going to execute judgment against Joash. And it came to pass at the end of the year that the host of Syria came up against him. And they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people and sent all the spoil of Ammon to the king of Damascus. All those princes and all those people that came in and bowed to King Joash and said, oh, let's do it this way. You're a great king. We're going to be so good. Pride lift him up. And now God sent another nation in and killed them, everyone, and tucked the spoil and tucked their riches away. The next verse says, for the army of Assyrians came with a small company of men. It didn't take many. God just allowed a small amount of the army of Syria to come in. That's all it takes. God's word, when God's wrath is kindled against someone that has started right, won't do right, and God has trusted them, they fail, and they won't repent. And the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand. God says, I don't need many of the enemy. Syria, take a few of your people in and destroy a host of them. See, God can be with us. No matter how small we are, God could be with the enemy no matter how small they are, if he wants them to execute wrath and judgment against his people. So a host, many, many of the people of God that started with God and failed God were now destroyed. And the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand. And here's the reason. Because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash. God always gives a reason. We know why Saul fell. His unwillingness to follow God and to want to do his own thing. And his whole life was swallowed up in judgment. Here we have a king that started so wonderfully well. And as he started well, he listened to the wrong crowd, went the wrong way. And judgment fell on him because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers. Verse 25. And when they were departed from him, for they left him in great diseases, his own servants conspired against him. For the blood of the sons of Jehoiada, the priest, and slew him on his bed, and he died. And they buried him in the city of David, but they buried him not in the sepulchers of the kings. Started right, done right, but he was so wicked now, they wouldn't even bury him in the sepulcher of the kings. Why? Because he forsook the Lord. What example God has given us this morning. He starts us right with his help, we can end right. You don't have to be 80 or 90. You don't have to be 50 or 60. This young man was in his 40s. He forsook the Lord, and God forsook him. What an example for us. God uses many things in his word to teach us that others fail. And Zechariah came and preached a message that says, you've forsaken God. God's not pleased. They wouldn't repent. There you go. Everyone stand, your heads bound. We come again, kids, and sing that song, How Great Thou Art. That was a beautiful rendition. God was in that. God's on his throne. He's great. He starts us. He plants us. He nourishes us. He provides leadership. And if we'll follow that leadership as they're following God, because then he should be teaching others. When those princes came to him, he could have converted them by God's help. Said, no, that's not the way I was reared. That's not what I was taught. That's not what the law of Moses decides. He didn't do that. Pride. Lifted up in pride. Destroyed him and his family and Judah as a nation. God help us to end well. Heads are bowed, eyes closed. They're singing a beautiful song. I don't know why God sent this message, but it tears my heart out to see people. And I don't know, I'm not thinking about any individual right now. I'm just thinking in general. People that started right and now completely gone from the house of God. Not doing well. Altar's open. Mind the Lord.
Lord, my God.